Good morning, and welcome to Great Loop Radio, brought to you every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time by America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. AGLCA and our Admiral sponsors, Curtis Stokes & Associates, Dog River Marina, Dozier's Regatta Point Yachting Center, Dozier's Waterway Guide and Magazine, Green Turtle Bay Resort, Marina Life, Richardson's Map Tech, Passage Maker Troller Fest, and Skipper Bob Publications invite you to join us as we explore the Great Loop every Friday morning with a show chock full of information that's useful to you, whether you are dreaming of, in the midst of, or planning a trip around the Great Loop. And don't forget to visit us at our website, www.greatloop.org. Thanks, and enjoy the show.
Hi, everyone. Excuse me, as Beth said, this is our weekly AGLCA radio show. Our home port crew is with us in full today. We've got Beth and Steve. I'm Janice, and Janine, our sponsor services coordinator, is with us this morning. Hi, Janine.
Hello. Good morning.
For those non-members out there who might not know what the Loop is, there is actually a continuous waterway that goes around the eastern half of North America. It encompasses the intracoastal waterways, both the East and the Gulf, the Canadian Heritage Canals, the Inland River System, and the Great Lakes. Our organization's duty is to share the sense of adventure and give you as much information about America's Great Loop that we can. We have a very active discussion forum where our members post back and forth, and you can get loads of information from them. If you'd like to become a member, we'd love to have you. Go to www.greatloop.org and click on Join. We've invited back our guest host, Curtis Stokes. He's an Admiral sponsor and the principal of Curtis Stokes & Associates. Curtis was so fantastic last week giving us tips on buying a boat. We asked him to come back this week to tell us the best way to sell your boat. If you have any questions or comments for Curtis during this show, please feel free. We love it to be interactive. Just give us a call at our toll-free number, 877-497-1815. Okay, Curtis, are you ready?
I'm ready. Good morning, everyone.
Okay, what is the most important thing to consider when getting ready to sell your boat? Is it price? Is it the market? What?
What I tell everyone is there are 9 things to remember when you're thinking about selling your boat. Price, 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 condition, 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 and location, location, location. I half jokingly say that, but really if you're not priced right for this market, you're either going to undersell your boat, which is pretty rare, or you're not going to have any activity whatsoever, no inquiries if you're way over the market. Condition-wise, if you are getting inquiries and people are getting to your boat and being turned off by the condition, certainly it's related to the price. Price will reflect condition at some point, but you do have to have the boat showable. And then location. I always tell everyone, you know, go where the brokers are. Go where there's activity. Don't hide your boat. I know that's tough for some folks that live in remote areas, but you do have to take into account location also.
I wouldn't have thought location was that important, Curtis, just because people don't like to travel to see a boat.
A lot of people don't these days. People are busy and airfare is expensive, fuel's expensive. So having your boat in a convenient location is certainly going to help. We sell boats all over the world, so, you know, location doesn't completely keep us from selling. But I can tell you, if your boat is in a major marine market like Newport, Rhode Island, or Annapolis, Maryland, or Fort Lauderdale, Florida, even, say, Stuart, Florida, somewhere where there are a lot of brokers and a lot of people coming to see other boats, you're going to get more activity. It's a little bit like real estate, you know, location, location, location.
Uh-huh.
But you still have to have the right price and right condition also.
Okay, thank you. Now, when you've made the decision to sell your boat, how should you find your listing broker, and what should you expect?
Well, if you're going to choose a broker, some people will choose to try to sell it themselves, and I'll go into that. But if you're going to choose your broker, it ties in with some of your due diligence also as far as price and condition. Look on the internet, look in the magazines, what brokers are advertising. Are they putting 20 or 30 boats in an ad where you can barely read or see the photo and you're lost in the crowd? Or is it a small firm that really doesn't have the financial wherewithal to advertise? Are on the internet, you know, going into Yacht World and onto that broker's website, is the boat described properly? Are there plenty of photographs? Interview brokers, contact them, get feedback, get references, meet with them in person. You have to do your due diligence. You just can't pick a broker just because they seem nice. In today's world, you really have to get someone who has the financial wherewithal to market your boat for sale, but is not so big in my mind that you get lost in the crowd.
Also, so you want someone kind of in the middle.
Yeah, that's my opinion. There are certainly big companies that have big budgets, but when you look at their advertising and look at how you're treated, you're just a number. So I like a little more personal attention, and I think there are plenty of brokers out there that do that. Then tied with that, you want certainly the financial wherewithal and the energy level to get out there and get your boat known in all the media that are around. The other thing in tied with that is you want to know what your boat is worth. Ask the broker for a written market analysis. The broker should be willing to email you or mail you or present in person what that broker feels your boat is worth in today's market. And it should be realistic. Why they come up with that? What are the comparables? What is the competition?
So you really want an experienced broker to be able to give you that figure correctly.
An experienced broker, but someone who's energetic, someone who's not tired and about to retire or is burnt out from the market. You have to have an energy level in today's market to compete. There's a lot of product out there, a lot of brokers trying to get everyone's attention, and there aren't a lot of buyers. So, you know, it's an issue of being seen and getting everyone's attention. Say, hey, here's a very nice boat. Come see it.
Okay. Now, once you've gotten your broker, how should you work with them to help sell your boat, or should you not?
Oh, no, definitely. I like to look at it as a team effort, and also communication is very important, communication and honesty. In today's litigious world, you have to be very careful about disclosure, and you need to tell your broker, hey, look, I know there's a problem with the port main engine, or I know there's a problem with the gearbox. Tell the broker this. Don't hide it from them, because what I have had happen in the past is an owner's afraid to tell the broker something. And we get the survey, and the surveyor picks the problem up, and the owner goes, oh, yeah, I knew about that. There's nothing worse than your broker standing there between the surveyor, the buyer, and the seller saying, oh, yeah, I knew about that. Communicate up front. You know, if it's something that needs to be repaired, it's going to cost you less to repair it than the buyer overestimating the cost of that repair or losing the sale. So I always recommend, you know, be honest, be up front, and work with the broker as a team.
Have you ever been, or I should say, often been surprised when that situation happens?
Not often. I'm pretty insistent that I know what's going on when I list a boat. And most sellers are more than happy to say, hey, look, this is what I know about the boat. Some owners have had insurance surveys done. Some owners, you know, use their boat so much they really do know the boat quite a bit. Occasionally, we do have an owner who just doesn't have a lot of experience and has not used their boat much, and honestly, they just don't know about a few of the problems.
Wow. Should you expect your broker to go on a sea trial with you before the boat is listed?
With you as already owning the boat, not when you're buying it, you mean?
No, when you're selling your boat. Would you expect your broker to go on a sea trial with you so that he can get a feel for the boat, or is that not necessary?
Oh, it would be great. A lot of times we can't do that because the owner is an absentee owner and is somewhere else, especially in a place like Florida. But anything like that certainly helps. The more knowledge the broker has of the boat, absolutely. If I can say, I have been underway in this boat and this is what I experienced, that certainly gives me more credibility with buyers. I would love to be able to do that in every case.
Okay, then that's a
now,
good
also tied to that, Janice, something else I would recommend is an oil analysis. First of all, I recommend everyone do an oil analysis at every oil check. Take an oil sample and keep a detailed record of your oil analysis reports. This is worth a great deal to a potential buyer and will alert you to any potential problems before you have a pending sale. There's nothing worse than getting the survey and then finding out you have a problem and it's delaying a closing, and then the buyer gets cold feet and walks away. That's a real shame. But if you can supply not just one oil analysis, one is better than none, certainly, but if you can supply a history, you know, in a binder next to your service manual and your underway manual, logbook, and present that to the buyer so that they have the confidence that you're attentive to the boat and you're keeping it updated. So it's worth a lot to a buyer. Definitely do that.
That's a good point. Thank you. I'm sure you have an opinion about trying to sell your boat yourself.
Hey, I'm all for it. You know, some people are great salespeople. Some people are better off hiring a broker. I work with for sale by owners. I don't market open listings where anyone can list it and it becomes kind of a free-for-all. But if you feel comfortable marketing your boat yourself, by all means, try it, you know, and see. There are a number of websites and on the Internet that are available for sale by broker boats. You can't go on Yacht World or Yacht Council and websites like that, so you are going to miss that market. But you can certainly get on the Internet with your own website marketing it and with for sale by owner sites. And in some of the magazines, it does get expensive. Remember, the broker can spread that cost out among a number of boats. But when you only have one boat and you're trying to do the same thing and get attention, it is a little more difficult. Also, we're here to weed out the people that are wasting time. There are, unfortunately, people who just are not serious buyers, who are just they don't have anything better to do. And we spend a lot of time weeding through these people. And so you as seller will have to deal with that. But you'll save a brokerage commission possibly, and if you enjoy the process, then it's there, and people do it successfully.
I don't recommend doing it without a broker, and I would use some of our sponsor brokers, but for those people who want to try it themselves, if you are a member of AGLCA, we do have a free service for you. You can list your boat on our classified sections. And again, I'm not recommending that. I think most people would do better off with a broker. I think
absolutely.
We'll break for a commercial. Who do we have this week, Beth? I'm not hearing Beth.
I think the lightning got the better of her.
Okay, I guess Beth's not with us right now. let's go to Homeport Marina and see what they have to say.
This is going well.
It's not going well. It's not playing. It says it's 10 minutes into the commercial. Okay, I guess we won't have a commercial this week. You people will have to miss our sponsor commercial. We'll get back to you next week. Okay, let's pick up, Curtis. What is working and what is not working in selling boats in today's market?
A lot of brokers tell me that the Internet is really taking over, and that's what's selling boats today in today's world of iPads, iPods, and everything else out there, starting with an I. But that's just part of it. I say, look, there are a lot of baby boomers, us baby boomers out there, who are retiring or just slowing down a little bit and getting out and boating more, and we're still looking at magazines. I'm still one of those old geezers that picks up a magazine and actually looks at it versus an electronic device. I spend too much time on a computer as it is, and I think a lot of people have that attitude. So you have to cover both mediums. You have to cover the Internet and old-line magazine advertising to get people's attention. And we do magazine advertising to draw people or encourage people to go to our website. So it ties all in together. Boat shows are certainly important. Unfortunately, boat shows are getting very, very expensive, not just for the brokers, but for the people running them with insurance and other costs. But the boat shows are still important, like Trawler Fest. I know they're a sponsor, and Passage Maker Magazine. The Trawler Fest, if you're looking for a trawler, there's no better venue. That is a great, great venue to search around. The large boat shows, like, say, the Fort Lauderdale Boat Show, tend to be more new boats and larger yachts. So you have to weed through quite a bit to get to some of the boats that are more loop capable. But there are other regional shows that are very good. In December, the St. Petersburg Boat Show will be coming up. And that's a nice, small, intimate boat show where you can see some good inventory. And things like, again, back to the Internet, the AGLCA classified ads are working. We see the traffic, and then they're going to our website. And finally, of course, the looper crawl at the Rendezvous. That's a perfect venue for anyone going to the Rendezvous. Just a very relaxed, it's not a hard sell. In fact, most of the boats aren't even for sale. But you can go about the docks looking at these boats and enjoying it while getting a feel for the different models.
Janine, what are some of your favorite boat shows?
Can you repeat that, Janice?
What are some of your favorite boat shows?
Oh, I enjoy all of them. I really get excited to go to all the boat shows. This year was my first time at Trawler Fest, and I would go to Trawler Fest over Fort Lauderdale Boat Show any day just because you have more one-on-one time. It wasn't crazy. You could, you know, breeze through Trawler Fest, go back again, and I really enjoyed Trawler Fest. And then, you know, I'm a big fan of the Stewart Boat Show because it's my hometown.
Yeah. It's a good boat show. I agree.
It is a really good boat show. It's small, intimate, and it's fun. It's very laid back, and that's how I felt with Trawler Fest as well this year. And Fort Lauderdale is always fun. Go ahead.
I was going to add to your thought on Trawler Fest. That, you know, with the classes that are taught at Trawler Fest, you can really learn a lot, too. And the other thing that people don't do at Trawler Fest, which is a shame, is attend the evening events, the dinners, because that gives you a chance. It's like a rendezvous. You get to sit around with other owners and buyers and people in the industry from electronics companies and just have a really good conversation. It's just fun.
And get to know them, you know, get to know them on a personal level than just business level, too.
Okay, Curtis, you mentioned the oil laws of, you know, the oil analysis. What other records are important to provide to help sell your boat?
Every buyer asks for maintenance records, a maintenance log of some type, and we rarely have them available. And most people get on a boat and they say, you know, I'm here to have fun. I'm not here to sit in front of a computer or sitting on a book writing out everything. And so I understand the mentality, but the better record keeping you keep, the more attractive your boat will be to buyers. So really a maintenance log is very, very important, and you can put your oil analysis reports in there. You're supposed to really have, you know, a ship's log anyway, but the maintenance records are very, very important. All the owner's manuals are great if you can have them organized, and usually they are when you buy the boat, but if they aren't, get those organized and put them in a central location. It just it does help facilitate the sale when everything's organized in its place and available for buyers to review.
Okay, now you've got your boat on the market, and luckily you found a buyer. What happens next? What can you expect?
Well, the process works that first the buyer submits a written offer, and you've got, you know, you go back and forth. You've got it under contract now. The buyer has a deposit in an escrow account. So now it's time to survey and sea trial the boat. The buyer selects the surveyor, and you don't want to get involved in that. Don't ever, as a seller, offer a previous survey to a buyer. You don't want to take on that liability. I don't encourage sellers ever to do that. Let the buyer choose their surveyor, let them do their own due diligence, and the buyer pays for the surveyors. The buyer also pays for the haul out as part of the survey to inspect the bottom. The seller just has to provide someone to run the boat on the sea trial. So once you get the survey sea trial done, it takes a few days for oil analysis reports to get back, for the written survey reports to get back to the buyer to review them. And then the buyer will come through their broker or directly and say, okay, here's what I found wrong with the boat. This was a surprise. This wasn't. And either the buyer will accept the boat or the buyer will ask for money off or will ask for repairs to be done. And it's just a negotiation process. If you get to the point where the buyer accepts the boat and you're ready to close, the buyer hopefully will hire a documentation company. Again, I don't recommend the seller get involved in the documentation as far as creating documents or handling registration or anything like that. Let the buyer handle that either on their own or preferably with a documentation company. And then, of course, when the closing is ready to take place, don't accept, whatever you do, don't accept any checks, especially cashier's checks. In my seminars, I always tell everyone, and I give a slide of a cashier's check that I received where it was a bogus bank. And it's actually a real bank, but the name of the bank had one letter missing. And I just happened to catch it, and I called the bank and said, you know, I just want to check and make sure this check is legitimate. And they said, one moment, from the fraud department. And they gave me the fraud department, and she said, look, I've got thousands of these things sitting here. We have 10 people in our department weeding through these. Just ignore it. So we don't accept checks anymore. We do everything by wire transfer.
Wire transfer.
Insist on that. Yep, absolutely.
It's a sad world where you can't even accept a, you know, a cashier's check, but you need to be safe.
Unfortunately, that's it.
As usual, do you have anything to add?
No, I would say that, you know, everyone asks me what the market is doing right now, and it's a very unpredictable market. One minute, the phone's ringing off the hook, and we're running around like crazy selling boats, and the next minute, the phone's dead. Certainly, some of it has to do with the stock market and the wealth effect. You know, when the market is up, the phone's ringing. When the market is down, it's a little quieter. But there is some good inventory out there that you have to compete with, so you do have to be competitive. As I said in the beginning, it's price and condition and location. So, you know, get the boat in shape. One thing I do in my seminars for sellers, it's always interesting to me, when I list a boat and I tell someone, look, you know, in your engine room, you could really use some detailing. You could fix this corrosion, rust, broken part, you know, cracked hose. And the sellers go, yeah, okay, whatever. And then in my seminar, I show photos in my PowerPoint presentation, and the look on sellers' faces are unbelievable when I show them the photograph. So what I've started doing is saying to the sellers, go in your engine room, take photographs of all the different areas, try to pick out dirt, rust, whatever it is, and then put it on your computer and look at it as you would if you were buying a boat. And the perspective is amazingly different. It's, you have to think as a buyer when you're a seller putting your boat on the market. What is the buyer going to see? I call it seller's blindness when I work with sellers and they don't see things in their engine room and throughout the boat, but especially in the engine room. And photographs are very effective, I've found from my seminars, where it really hits home that they're not on their boat looking at their own boat with their own pride. They're looking at a photograph going, oh, wow, that is ugly. You know, that needs to be cleaned up or repaired. And then, of course, the other thing is, for anyone who watches HDTV, decluttering is very important, just like in your home when you put it up for sale, a boat. We have a lot of mementos from doing the loop, and it starts to clutter after a while. Those storage areas need to be cleaned out because you want to show people that you have a lot of storage. If I walk onto a boat that has a lot of trinkets, a lot of personal photographs, and things just spread out everywhere, it makes the boat feel smaller. So declutter, detail, and show the boat off to potential buyers.
Thank you. Steve, do you have any questions?
Yes.
Yeah, you posted a listing the other day for a 47-foot marine trader.
Ah, you noticed that.
Yeah, what in the world did they do to that thing?
They did everything in the world to that boat, short of replacing the engines. And they didn't replace the engines. They just went out and bought two spares and put them in storage for parts. Very interesting owner of that boat. He's very intense, very into his boat. And someone is going to get an incredible buy on that. They're not going to steal the boat by any means, but the boat is priced very fairly. This owner spent over $800,000 on a 47 Marine Trader under the guidance of Steve D'Antonio. I'm sure a lot of people know Steve's name. He's a very well-known writer and Marine consultant. And Steve oversaw all of the refit on this boat. It was a multi-year refit. So they took, for example, the down galley, and they moved it up to the salon level and put a dedicated battery room. Literally, it's just a separate room for all the battery banks, switches, everything. All the cabling has been all updated. They have a utility room where the dinette used to be, and put the water maker and the inverter and the Glendenning system, the shore power system in there. The whole boat has been gone through top to bottom and just redone from electrical, plumbing, you name it. It is gorgeous. I mean, absolutely gorgeous.
What?
And there are a few owners out there who have done similar things like this that have very upgraded boats that a smart buyer is going to find, and it's absolutely turnkey and immaculate condition for a very fair price.
So the current owner put $800,000 into it and it's for sale for $300,000?
Yeah, this owner knew, you know, he would never get his money back, but it was a fun project for him, and he's the type of owner who enjoys the process. There are owners that build boats constantly because they love to build boats. This is that type of owner. So a savvy buyer comes along and finds a boat like this, and for a fraction of the cost of a new boat, can buy a boat in as good condition and in a lot of cases better. Anyone who knows Steve D'Antonio is very particular about ABYC standards and what is right and what is wrong. And this boat is beyond belief. There's going to be an article in the October issue of Passage Maker on the boat. And if it hasn't sold by late January, early February, we're going to have it in Trawler Fest, Fort Lauderdale, certainly for sale, but also on display of what things can be done to an older boat to bring it up. You don't have to spend $800,000. This gentleman just chose to. And it's just one of those unique boats out there that if you're in the $300,000 price range, you have to see this boat to really appreciate it. And you have to see it in person. It's unreal.
Thank you. Steve?
Yeah.
Close your wallet.
Yeah, okay.
I can see your brain spinning.
I'll see you tomorrow, Steve.
Curtis, thank you so much. This has been great as usual. I appreciate it. We will see you at our fall rendezvous, Joe Wheeler State Park, Rogersville, Alabama, October 21st through the 24th. Registration is filling up quickly, so go to our webpage and register. We'd love for you to become members if you're not. And if you have any questions, my contact information is on the webpage. And the address is www.greatloop.org. Till next week, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Thanks,
bye-bye,
everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.